Is that good?
All right. Awesome. Well, I made sure to tell David that I was preaching tonight, so he said, thank you for telling me so I don't have to come, but I guess he forgot, so he's here. I appreciate that. If you would go ahead and please turn to John. We'll look in John chapter 11. When you get there, if you would go ahead and please stand. We'll go ahead and pray first, because I just want to talk about a little bit of things that I found. I just really feel like I need to talk about those right before we start the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for allowing me to stand up here tonight, Lord God. I'm unworthy of my salvation. I'm unworthy of my call to ministry, Lord God. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use me for your glory most of all. I pray that as my man of God's out of town tonight, Lord God, you would bless him, Heavenly Father. I pray that after this service, you would bless the fellowship, Lord God. Give everybody safe travels home. I pray that you would bless my voice, Lord God, that I may be able to properly pronunciate everything that you have allowed me to say. Heavenly Father, I pray that I may be able to properly execute what you've laid on my heart, Lord God, for your glory. And I pray that there is a soul here tonight that's lost and dying and going to hell, Heavenly Father. I pray that they would come to know you tonight, Lord God, before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, well, I just want to go ahead and you guys can sit down. I apologize. I probably shouldn't have made you stand up. Just get the exercise in, you know? All right, I just want to talk about some things I saw in John 11, and before I start my main message, I was just looking through there, and I just named this little tidbit, The Beauty of John 11, and I was going through there, and I was looking, and I was reading all of John 11, because this is my favorite passage of Scripture. I love the story of Lazarus, because we were just, I relate well to that. I was dead in sin. I was held back by the stones that he was held back. I was robed up in what he was wrapped up in. That was the bondage that I was in sin, and I relate to that very well, as some as you may with other books of the Bible, or stories in the Bible, but I was just reading, and I came across verse 4, and it said, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And I was just thinking, look at our trials. We often like to complain. We often like to wonder, why am I facing this trial? Why does God think that, you know, that I should, you know, have to deal with this? But look, God, you should almost take pride in the fact that God allowed you to face this trial, because in the end, that you are giving him glory. And if this could be for your spiritual progression, just as when Lazarus died, you know how Jesus waited several days to go. He'd already been dead for 4 days. And they wondered, why didn't Jesus come early? Why didn't he come to save him before he died? Well, I believe that Jesus waited 4 days, not only just to receive, you know, the great amount of raising Lazarus from the dead, but I believe that he also waited that long because he wanted them to receive the maximum amount of spiritual growth that they could receive from that. If you look, it's just, you know, they thought that all hope was gone. He'd been dead for 4 days. The death watch was over. I mean, he was bound up. He was rotting. He stunk. It tells us that he stunk. And he was rotting. And as you see, Jesus waited that long to raise them because all their hope was gone. They had complete, you know, loss of faith in the fact that Jesus would raise their brother from the dead. But I just wanted to look at that for a moment. Just tell you, if you're going through a trial right now, I'd like for you just to understand that God's allowed you to face this, not because he feels like he needs to punish you, which is sometimes happens because he chastises his children, but also that you may be able to receive the maximum amount of spiritual growth that he's allowing you to receive through it. So find glory in God for allowing you to face such a thing. But now I would just like to look at a message. I titled it, "Lazarus, Come Forth." And we'll read chapter 11, verses 38 through 46. And the Bible says, "Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, and said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Did I say 46? Okay. Then many of the Jews came. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had been and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So tonight, I just want to readdress what I'm going to talk about. As Lazarus come forth, and we're going to I'm just going to get started. You'll figure out what I'm talking about as we go. All right. So my first point I want to address is the problem. Lazarus, you know, Lazarus was sick and he was dying, and that was another problem. It was also another problem that Mary and Martha were facing. Obviously, they were extremely distraught considering the fact that their brother had just died. Obviously, any of us would be. But in this story, you should be able to come to trust that God will provide in many ways. Our problem relating to Lazarus is we were in bondage, held as slaves, bound up and locked in our flesh vessels, which are diving head first into hell. And we were sick with sin, living in these bodies. And just as Lazarus was bound up in those grave cloths and held back by that stone over the cave, you were held back from the glory of heaven and being able to enter the kingdom of God by the sin that you were bound up in. But I want to address, what's this solution? What's this solution? Verse 40, 43 and 44 says, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe that thou shouldest see the glory of God? And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Well, what I want to talk about right here is Jesus is more than capable. Why? If you go back and look at verse 6 and verses 20 and 21, you see, he remains calm when we don't. Obviously, everyone around here was wondering, Jesus, Lazarus is dying. Why aren't we going to help him? Once he dies, we don't know that you'll bring him back. They had doubt, I would assume. But Jesus just sat there and he waited. You can tell that, all right, the Bible tells us Jesus didn't get up and start sprinting. Guys, we got to make it to Lazarus, because once he dies, that's it. I also like to say that, isn't it kind of rude that Mary and Martha, you know, I mean, their brother was in paradise, and they were like, we kind of need him back, Jesus. I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of selfish. But, but he remains calm when we don't, and see that's where our faith should rely, and that's where we should keep our comfort in the fact that Jesus doesn't panic when we have a problem. Jesus is never like, man, I've never seen one like this before. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't understand what's wrong with that guy. I really have no idea what I'm gonna do for him. No. Jesus in this situation, he stayed calm because he knew exactly what would happen. He stays faithful as well, because when Jesus was planning to come back, in verses 8 through 10, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again. Look, Jesus comes through with threat lingering all the time. Just as Jesus came to earth, the Savior, to shed the blood on Calvary for us, there was a threat. Jesus knew before he came that he would be crucified. Jesus wasn't like, wow, when I come to earth, I really hope they like me. I really, you know, I created these people. Obviously, he's going to know exactly how he's going to be greeted. If you see back when it said, and he was alive, or wait, I can't remember. All right. But okay. He knew that he wouldn't be welcomed, obviously, and he knew that the threat was lingering, but he always came through for us. Could you imagine if Jesus came to earth and was like, they're not nice, I'm going back? Or if he would have called the angels down, we wouldn't be here. We would be on our way to hell if he would have just decided not to come. We'd still be in the Old Testament. But Jesus comes through with threat lingering all the time. If you look at verse 46, he gives us so many reasons to trust him. He just rose Lazarus from the dead. And you can't say, well, maybe Lazarus was taking a nap. His flesh was rotting. He stunk. He stunk. So, and the Jews, nonetheless, after he performed that miracle, which should have been, just, wow, how did he do that? How did he bring him up from the dead? Instead, they were like, we're gonna go tell the Pharisees. Dude, you'll never believe what Jesus just did. He just raised that guy from the dead. Or they just completely deny the awesomeness that Jesus possessed. They completely just completely wanted to turn their heads away from what Jesus had done for them that day, which we do that constantly. Even though we believe that Jesus can do all these things, we often sit there and we're like, Jesus, that bill's that's a pretty big one. I don't know if you can come through for me on that one, but I'm not saying that just because you go out and, you know, rack up your credit card debt doesn't mean that Jesus is going to take care of that. That's not his problem. But I am saying that Jesus will come through for you in certain situations, just like in the ministry. We might not always be blessed, but look, or we might not always be blessed in certain areas, but Jesus has constantly blessed me. It's been a joy to be able to call myself a preacher, even though I haven't been in this a long time. It's been a constant blessing just to be able to know that I'm called. This is what I was meant to be, but Jesus comes through for us even when we don't expect him to, and we didn't go and tell the Pharisees, hey, Jesus just did this. Jesus just did this. Jesus, we may be asking Jesus for a blessing, and he might give us another blessing that we weren't asking for. Like, you may be asking for something else, but Jesus gives you a blessing in another area. He might not give you exactly what you're asking for, but he gives you another blessing that you didn't really say you wanted, or you didn't express to him that you desired at that time, but he still gave you a blessing. And nonetheless, we often receive those blessings and we're angry over the fact that he didn't give us what we asked for in the first place. You know, just like Mary and Martha, they said, Jesus, he's dying. We need you to come. He's dying. We need you to heal him. Jesus didn't heal him like they asked. He died before Jesus ever showed up. So obviously, they were probably kind of angry, as you see when Martha ran up and was like, if you would have been here, my brother would still be alive. No, he waited that time because he was going to give them a blessing after all their hope was gone, or a blessing in an area that they weren't really asking it for. But I also want to address the relief, the respect, and the rebuke. The relief is the fact that Mary and Martha were understandably hurt by the death of Lazarus, which I addressed earlier. But imagine their overwhelming joy. With the resurrection of Lazarus, all their hope was gone. They had absolutely no idea that, you know, that the Son of God would actually come and care enough to raise their brother from the dead, that he would breathe life back into Lazarus and call him out. And could you imagine, our preachers preached a message on this before, but you know how Mary or Martha gets in Jesus' face, I would assume, as she ran towards him. She said, look, if you would have been here, he'd still be alive. But as you see, you know, when Mary hears about him, she jumps up in the air. She's excited. You know, she was sad. She was, you know, sitting by herself, but the Jews came to comfort her. But she was sitting by herself and she was sad. She almost forgot about Jesus, I guess you could look at it in this way. She completely forgotten or thought he wouldn't come through. But as you hear when they come in and say, you know, Jesus is coming, she jumps up and goes. That often happens to us. We might be in a time where we're like, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. And the trial just keeps coming and keeps approaching, and it gets harder and harder. We forget about him. We think we can take care of it ourselves, or we go into depression. And then we have received the peace from the Holy Spirit, and he just touches us and says, I'm here. And we jump up. We jump up. That's exactly what Mary had happened to her. I mean, could you imagine, you know, she's disappointed. She's sad. She thinks Jesus is never going to come. He's been dead for days. He's never going to come. And then they hear, Jesus is coming. And she gets up, and I imagine she ran towards him, and then, you know, she fell on her feet and said, Jesus, if you were here, my brother would still be alive. Yeah, she said the same exact thing as her sister did, but it's the way that she approached him. It's the way that she approached him. And preachers preached this before, God does not like when you come to him as though, hey, you should do this for me. He like you. Most of your prayers are answered, or all of your prayers are answered on knees. You don't demand God, but God is as a father. He gives it to you as he sees fit. He doesn't. You don't go to God and say, give me this now. And God's like, okay, chill out. No, God's going to give it to you as you see fit, because he is your father. And he will give you blessings in areas that you may not expect, or areas that he may give you blessings that you've asked for. You may ask for a certain blessing in a certain area, like maybe your bills are racking up and you just don't understand how you're going to get through, and then somehow money pops up in your bank account or in certain areas like that. God does come through because he is our father and he understands that we need. But I have a hard time with people thinking that, you know, God's not going to come through. God doesn't care. God doesn't care. I mean, he can't give me this money. He sent his son to die for you, and you're doubting the fact that he would give you money, an object that means nothing to him. They walk on gold in heaven, I would say, and in your word, that God's going to be like, man, that's $10. That's a lot of money, man. I don't know if I can do that. And he's walking on gold. He created everything that's down here, and you doubt his ability to give you blessings in a certain area? No. Don't think that God can't give you this, saying, wow, this is too big. He already gave you the biggest gift that you could ever ask for, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. So don't think that, hey, okay, well, maybe God's just not going to give me this, or maybe God can't give me this. God can give you anything. And it's all in due time, and it's all in His time. And maybe He doesn't see fit for you right then in that moment. But God will take care of you, for we are His children. I would also like to say the respect. You know, when Jesus came, I imagine the Jews, they were kind of like, well, we've heard of Him. They weren't believers yet. That when Jesus came, they were kind of like, I've heard of this guy. I don't really know if anything He's done is true. I haven't really seen it. I have no idea if He's the real deal, if He's the Son of God. I have no idea if I can trust Him. But this is when the respect comes in. Jesus comes, and you know, He's got Mary and Martha, and they're weeping. You know, their brother just died, and Jesus says, you know, take me to where he is, and she says that he stinketh. That is my favorite part in the entire book of John, or in the entire chapter of John, chapter 11, is because that smell, that stench, that didn't bother Jesus. That stench never once bothered the Father, even though it may have bothered those around Him when He came out. Could you imagine, you know, a body's been rotting, it's been decomposing, you know, the smell of rotting flesh was probably extremely putrid. But you imagine that Jesus didn't care, but everyone around Him was probably like, you know, just, that's disgusting. That's exactly how our sin is. We come to Jesus with our sin, and people may be like, well, that guy's too much of a drunk to be saved by God. That guy does too many drugs for God to ever save him. That stench of your old life, of who you were before you were saved, is not ever going to bother God. After He cleans you off, it's never going to bother Him anyway. But to other people, they're going to be like, I remember before He got Jesus, He was a drunk. And they're still not going to respect you for that. Or that smell may bother Lazarus. You know, he may bring times where the devil's like, remember you did this, remember you did this. That stench may come and bother him. But if you notice, that smell never once bothered Jesus. She said it, and He almost just played it off like, okay, he just completely ignored it. And that's how it is with our sin. Yes, there are times where God punishes us for our stench or our smell, but all in all, we have the blood on us, so therefore God's going to completely act as though it was never happened, because He chooses to forget our sins, as He's promised in His word. But lastly, when addressing the respect, the Jews, they saw Jesus do this, and they didn't know, hey, can I trust Him yet? He did that, and they said, this is the Son of God. And that day they came to trust. They had seen things which Jesus had did and believed on Him. So they came to respect Him. They came to know Him as the Son of God. They came to believe on Him that day. But lastly, we have the rebuke. Some of the Jews, as I said a moment ago, they completely neglected the true awesomeness of the Son of God that day. Imagine, you know, they come in, and the whole group of Jews is probably questioning, because they're not yet saved. They've heard of Jesus. Jesus, I imagine, was going around, and everybody was hearing of these great things, but those who hadn't seen yet didn't believe because they hadn't seen, or, you know, but, you know, you can believe on the word of God if they tell you, but those Jews hadn't believed yet. But when Jesus came, they were all questioning Jesus, and then you have some of them who just are the few, as the Bible says, they did not believe on Him, and they went to tell the Pharisees. They went to get Jesus in trouble, as we often do. As I mentioned a minute ago, we do it a lot. We ask Jesus for things, and we doubt He can do them, and He does it, and we go and sin. We go and act as though Jesus never blessed us in the first place. We ask for these shoes, or not always materialistic things, but health. And Jesus gives you health every day, but you don't use your health to glorify God. He allows you to talk, and when your throat's sore and you can't speak, and God gives you health, He takes care of that. When you're healthy again, you don't glorify God. You hurt your leg and you're worried that you won't be able to walk for a while the right way. God heals it. You don't walk around and tell people about God. God came through for them. He showed them, this is why you need to believe me. I don't believe He did it for Lazarus. Lazarus was already taken care of. He was in paradise. He didn't do it for Lazarus. He did it for the Jews, Mary and Martha. Don't think that, hey, Jesus was like, I really need Lazarus to be here. I don't know how many people are going to believe me without him. He did it for the people who were skeptical of His true power. And I just want to end on this remark. Don't think that God can't come through for you when He's already given you everything you've ever needed. When you were saved, God gave you everything that you ever needed. And there's some things that you haven't yet received. The devil has those. You have to go and take those back. Everything's not going to be given to you in this life like we would like it to be. Some things you have to go out and you have to get. God's not always going to give you everything. You're not going to be able to go out and or in this instance, you're not going to be able to go out and live like a hellion on the weekdays, and then come in on Sunday expecting God to fill me up. I want to feel the Spirit. I want to feel it. Can you give it to me? I want to feel it. And knowing good and well that you were out all week acting as though you were never saved in the first place, or you didn't know God in the first place. I thank you guys for allowing me to preach tonight. I know it wasn't long. Most of us, I guess, stayed up late last night and watched this, so I guess this is my gift to you, letting you get out of here early. So you're welcome. Thank you for allowing me to be up here. God bless.